Well, throughout this COVID pandemic, Australia's economy has been remarkably resilient. In the background, though, there are growing calls for a review of the Reserve Bank's monetary policy settings. The ABC's senior business correspondent Peter Ryan has been taking a look at whether the RBA needs a shake-up. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Fran.
Is now the time really to be reviewing the RBA? Surely there's enough going on managing this pandemic and trying to get the economy back on track.
Well, Fran, there's a lot going on at the moment. Certainly the COVID pandemic is causing a lot of grief for a lot of people, and the Reserve Bank has that at the top of its agenda. But it is true that the Reserve Bank is globally respected. After all, Australia's only had one recession in 30 years, the most recent one, the COVID recession last year. And it shouldn't be forgotten that the RBA guided Australia through the global financial crisis a decade ago, also the Asian financial crisis in 1997. Now, the RBA has a charter of keeping inflation between 2% and 3% over time, delivering full employment and maximising the nation's prosperity. So perhaps 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but the RBA has missed the inflation target since 2015. The Paris-based OECD is the latest to remind the RBA about its failure to meet the inflation target, which is the key trigger for raising or lowering the cash rate and calibrating the economy. It wants an independent review of the RBA's charter and the way the board is comprised so it can prepare for long-term risks or shocks. The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, says he's open to a review after the next election to learn from the experience of the pandemic, and the RBA Governor, Philip Lowe, has repeatedly said that he's committed to inflation targeting.
Okay. But the inflation target, if it's the trigger for, you know, altering the cash rate and calibrating the economy, is the implication that they're getting that wrong? I mean, it's the RBA is a pretty mysterious institution. We await once a month to see what happens to the cash rate, and most of us don't know really why it's gone up or down much of the time. But you've been speaking to former RBA board member Professor Warwick McKibben, who's seen these things from the inside. Does he back the notion of a review?
Well, Fran, this is all about, you know, getting greater communication information about the way the Reserve Bank operates, given, as you said there, it is a bit of a mysterious institution. And Warwick McKibben was on the RBA board for a decade until 2011. He's currently Professor of Public Policy and Economics at the ANU, so he has special insights into how the RBA board operates. And he's been arguing for years that inflation targeting has probably run its course as a credible tool. Professor McKibben told me now is the perfect opportunity to put everything on the table, including the inflation target, to ensure the RBA's settings are fit for purpose.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think it actually should be comprehensive, as indicated by the OECD, and not just monetary settings, but also whether inflation targeting really is the right framework for the current environment. I think it probably isn't.
Is inflation targeting relevant in today's world, given that inflation has been well below the target band for a number of years?
It's relevant in the sense that you need to tie down people's inflation expectations, otherwise you end up like we saw in the 70s with runaway inflation. But a better approach is actual nominal GDP or nominal expenditure targeting, which is much more closely aligned with the ultimate goals of society, and that is to have an economy that's growing strongly in real terms, but also with low inflation.
What about the way the RBA board operates, how external directors are appointed? How would you like to see that change, given that you've been inside the boardroom yourself as a director?
I think a blend between expertise, financial, monetary, economic expertise, and expertise from the markets is actually a good mix. So probably around half of the members should have practical experience in the economy, and the other half should be well versed on modern monetary theory.
Are you concerned that perhaps there's too much an emphasis on, I suppose, at times political appointments to the RBA board?
Practically, yes, but I don't think in my experience that was actually a problem at all, except for maybe one appointment, which I won't mention. Everyone who I served with on the board were exceptional individuals, but I do think that by doing a different process and having a different set of criteria, you would minimise the political problems that might arise in the future.
Do externally appointed RBA board members have a strong enough say, or do they mainly take the advice of the governor or RBA officials at the monthly meetings?
My experience was that they're very independent people and they have their own independent views. But what I think would be good to have just more discussion of the various views of the world around the table, rather than having a board paper which has a particular view to present to the board members, who then can challenge it if they have the capacity to.
Professor Warwick McKibben is a former RBA board member. Peter, once the RBA gets the COVID crisis out of the way, what's its next challenge?
Well, Fran, the big one is climate change, and financial regulators, including the RBA and also commercial banks, have been factoring the fallout into its plans. And Warwick McKibben told me that any review will need to look at how to manage this, given that there's expected to be an uneven impact across the economy as carbon-intensive industries dramatically move away from fossil fuels and most likely cause more shockwaves across the economy.
I think it will be. I think it's going to be two aspects. One is the shocks from a changing climate itself will cause supply shocks in the economy, but also the policy transition is quite significant. So we need some structural adjustment, which will cause some particular regions of Australia to incur bigger negative shocks than other regions. So what you need is really a big green infrastructure push similar to the US with some carbon pricing mechanisms to restructure the economy to be carbon neutral by 2050. I think it's pretty clear that's needed. The biggest issue is how do you support the particular sectors of the economy in particular regions that are going to be impacted by what the world is doing, let alone by what the Australian government will need to reach any sort of realistic climate target.
Professor Warwick McKibben. And Peter, speaking of the economy, there were some pretty dire employment figures out last week. If we put the official figures to one side, what's the real unemployment rate looking like?
Well, Fran, the August jobless rate ticked up to 4.9% and 149,000 jobs lost. But that's distorted by the reality that the participation rate is down because so many people have stopped looking for work. But EY Chief Economist Joe Masters says if you want a reality check, look no further than the hours worked, which fell by 66 million hours in August. And she says if you cut through the messiness of falling participation, then the unemployment rate would probably now be 10%. Instead of that 4.9%, which really goes to the issue that some of those headline figures are misleading about the true pain in the economy as lockdowns persist.
Yeah, so the headline figure looks good, but people are feeling the pain, a lot of
That's
people.
Right.
Just finally, Pete, what can we expect this week in your field?
Well, Fran, there's going to be a lot of attention on the damage from the nuclear submarines deal with the US and China, and companies exposed to China and France where retaliation could be expected, especially from China. The Australian share market set to open almost 1% weaker later on this morning. And, Fran, the Australian dollar is a bit lower this morning at 72.6 US cents.
OK, Peter, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Peter Ryan is the ABC's Senior Business Correspondent.